Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast.
It's been a while. A
brief delay. I got married and it's been summertime in a bear market, but we're back now. That's probably why the market's up.
Yeah, definitely. We've been touching grass, a lot of grass, you know, getting outside. But like ETH and Bitcoin kind of made a comeback since their last spoke. Like,
if people bought it 800, I know a lot of people saying, why didn't I buy it 800? We had talked about, I think, how like the macro is bad, which like it still is.
Inflation is still very high. They're raising the rates, but it's because of the articles about the merge, you know, getting closer in September. There's like a smart con, different kind of conventions, and they're really pushing that the merge will happen. And there's actually like timelines, and it's, and that has caused this great like 75-65%.
We've touched on it a lot too, and then people are wondering. I've always been like an ETH, like more than Bitcoin maxi, but
yeah.
What if the flippening happens around the merge? And
yeah, I mean, Bitcoin is only in the last 30 days is only up 22%.
Yeah, and so ETH is like way
24,000.
Yeah, so from the bottoms, if you had picked ETH instead of Bitcoin, I think the bottoms were
2x.
Yeah, because like, the bottom of ETH was 800, 900, and then the bottom of Bitcoin, it got to what, 17?
16? Yeah, it was like 7, it was like 18.
But, alts aren't necessarily, so that's what people say is, you know, the rotation of, if Bitcoin goes up, that's the first one, but ETH has outperformed in the short term, which is an interesting distinction. And like I said, the flippening when, or if,
alts aren't doing anything.
When ETH overtakes Bitcoin in terms of market cap, but the overall market cap, I believe, is now over a trillion again, which is kind of like, in my mind, a key 1. Indicator. 1. Yeah, 1.1. So the total market is good. Bitcoin and ETH have gone up. And like I was saying, the alts are a smaller portion of that. And they've somewhat recovered off bottoms, but haven't gotten back to.
Mostly people are sidelined or not even like trying to play these ranges.
Just going in like bit by bit, kind of.
Yeah. So the most recent FOMC meeting was like on Tuesday. And then ETH just went up for like 15%, you know, 10%.
And I think it hopefully is the dust settling. I think we'll move to like talking about Suzu and 3AC. I mean,
lawsuits are going on now that a lot of people lost a lot of money. So like there's a Bloomberg article that Suzu like did like an interview over Zoom, and they didn't show their faces, and you know, people say that they're in Dubai and that they're
apparently they're in Dubai, and it was something I was going to touch on. But the crazy thing is, like, Doquan is posting on Twitter, and it's like, dude, like, read the room, like. And apparently, they found in South Korea where he's from, people in his backyard, like intruders, like. People lost everything.
He has a crazy amount of security.
And so we can reflect on that. Yeah, things are back up, but it's like people that were leveraged, people that had like Terra USD or Luna, or they like, were pooling.
Look at the US market, like for like exchanges. They all bet bigger on Luna and are all going bankrupt. Like Celsius is now in their bankrupt proceedings.
Voyager now. Voyager was another domino, I think, that fell.
Got bought by FTX. And FTX is just accumulating all these pieces where it's like, now they're going to be they're going to have a monopoly.
Well, it's basically FTX and Binance. And then, you know, we try to keep up with the news.
Yeah.
We had said, you know, that like, yeah, I was like away for honeymoon and et cetera. But there really wasn't much going on. But there was just little bits of incremental news of, Binance is now available in this country, that country. FTX now adds stocks. Like the companies that still are growing and that are still solvent and are well positioned.
They're eating all the crumbs.
Yeah. Like, And based
they're carbon, positioning themselves for the next bull market.
Based Carbon had a really good point where he was just like flabbergasted that they didn't have some sort of a hedge, or that they were so smart that they didn't mentally like have some sort of risk mitigation. But what I had heard from Suzu, which at this point is just like really in my mind gross that they said it this way, where they were like, yeah, well, so many people lent us money. We thought that even if we get close to liquidation, we'll just have an unlimited supply of credit. And it's like, dude, you're down like billions of dollars.
They had so much trust in the industry that people like, just gave them money.
Our names are worth something, you know, and we're just, I mean, if we need another billion to backstock our leverage Bitcoin bets,
$50 million, yeah.
We have all these, this stake deep and trust stuff. Us. And yeah, it's no big deal. This is going to pan off. It really points to the hubris of these people who...
Well, it's also on the other side, they have bad risk management procedures.
That's the big thing is, you know, everybody thought that he was a genius. And I think that it's a thing where we had talked about it before, but the cult of personality in crypto, Daniele Sesta, I mean, there are all sorts of the BitMEX people, if you don't know about that.
People like, need like a follower or like...
And if you think that you found a genius and you just invest in what they do, Doquan and Suzu genius, Daniele genius, all these people you think are geniuses and they end up losing all their money. And maybe they're just really good. Maybe all you need is to be able to be popular.
I mean, famous. I feel like you have to have some like greats. These aren't like... people in their mom's basements step to screen. These are like highly like
well, Suzu and Kyle Davies started in like, college.
Yeah,
and I think it's just if you do leverage bets. That was another one I think that Base Carbon or somebody else had talked about is the amount of mental delusion that you need to. If you wanted to make the most money, if you just leveraged yourself and did insane bets on crypto, then you get generational wealth.
Yeah,
the habits that got these people generational wealth are insane. You should not be leveraged billions to the gills paying interest on speculative loans.
Yeah. Which you did previously will not work now.
Or I mean maybe it will, but what's the line between dumb luck and just insane risk and being, you know, flipping the coin correctly? But figuring out how to leverage your coin flip to the gills.
Yeah. So it's crazy. I mean, a lot of like lawsuit news are like people getting sued.
I was gonna mention about it though, where it was like, so Suzu, they were believed to be in Dubai, and then I think they were looking at trying to get creditors to then pay out their clients and stuff. But Dubai, I was mentioning to him, had like a, was it millions or billions, several hundred million dollars that they were investing in the metaverse?
500 million. Their blockchain market cap are like...
They're looking to create, I believe, 50,000 jobs in the city.
They have like four different blockchains. Like our metaverse will expand 5 times. This would generate, you know, $40 billion or $400 billion to our government. So
I just wanted to highlight it though, because I think that I've said that the United States with some of their laws have dropped the ball on being the, you know, home of innovation. And I visited Dubai for the blockchain conference, and that place, the government, which is a royal family that is a, can I say that it's a dictatorship? It is, right? Like, or what is it? Like, I mean, they don't have an elected parliament, do they?
What, very authoritarian?
Yeah. It's a monarchy. Yeah. It's a dictator. Yeah. I mean, no, it's not a dictator. I'm not trying to say anything but I'm pretty sure like everybody knows that the family and the ruler,
it's a royal
family. Yeah, the royal. It's a monarchy. So they have unilateral power to open the doors for crypto mostly Americans that I've met in Dubai, and there were also Europeans, people from all over, and they were just saying the rules are better here. The laws are better here. The government, they have an economic zone where I believe it's in the Burj Khalifa, where there are several trading floors where they're exempt from taxes of trading. Mm-hmm. I know that the U.S. changed the laws where under, I think, $500, you don't get taxed on crypto trades. And there was like a meme or a joke where someone was like, Yeah, the IRS looked at Etherscan for 30 minutes and said, yeah, under 500, we don't care. Yeah, many such. I mean, also, I think that this leads a little bit into the idea of another topic, which was securitization. I was showing how I had sent Brian like some links and then Hisaka had pulled it up. But it's kind of confusing, the definition of Ethereum Classic versus Ethereum. And it's kind of like Bitcoin Satoshi Vision or like versus Bitcoin. And there are these kind of forks and stuff. But what people are saying is that they're going to start treating Ethereum like a security. And then it'll be better to have the asset Bitcoin or Ethereum Classic because of the way that they're going to legally be treating it. But again, with the Dubai stuff and comparing it to the United States, I think that the laws are a bit behind.
That's with the Coinbase thing. So the insider trading, they're saying those, the tokens that they provided insider trading on are securities. So.
Yeah. And I mean, Mark Cuban was talking about if things are securities and once the SEC comes into it, like it's going to be really rough for the crypto market when
they're trying to trade from the US. Will charge something outrageous so that they can like create a law from this case. And so it doesn't make sense from an.
So what I'm going to just go and like, I try to bring, you know, my background in like business and tech and like discuss macro and some of the rules and laws. The big thing is I'm looking right now on the definition of a security versus a commodity. And so purchasing stocks buys a share in corporations' ownership and control. Purchasing commodities, on the other hand, is to buy goods themselves. And so a security is a financial instrument, but a commodity is not a security. So if Ethereum counts in some way as, for instance, a bank a corporation share versus it's just like a piece of land, like is Bitcoin a share in something or is it just a thing that I own? It really makes a difference with taxes. At the end of the day, it's really just about money and how you're taxed.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are saying that they're going to be calling, in Coinbase, these insider traders, if they start putting down laws that these are securities and then you have to do certain tax reporting and et cetera, et cetera.
This guy, Jason Gottlieb, is just going to cause more business to move outside the US, which makes it less safe for US retail, not more. These are the unanticipated consequences of regulation by enforcement, but by this point, it's pretty easy to anticipate these consequences.
And I mean, I'm not legal advice, not financial advice, but I'm not saying things that I do. I'm just saying that the high level traders, because we don't have access to certain financial instruments in this country, it's not that tricky. Like I'm not telling people to do this, but using VPNs to be able to have offshore accounts with non-KYC and the KYC and the privacy. I didn't watch the episode. I mean, did you watch the Up Only Zuko?
Yeah, I did not.
So Zuko, I believe, is he Litecoin? I know Gainsey has like giant positions with Zuko and gets pissed about it, but I think it has to do with the privacy of certain other coins like Monero. And I mean, Bitcoin is supposed to, and technically if you follow certain steps, is also untraceable in some ways. Same with Ethereum and Tornado Cash.
We've touched about Tornado
Cash. We haven't even looked into it, but we really, I promise you, NSA, FBI, we don't use Tornado Cash.
You're smart as well.
I mean, it's kind of tricky, and I think you have to use... You need to use VPNs and Tors, and you need to reroute things to make things private. Similarly with Bitcoin, I mean... If you take it off of exchanges and then you don't interact with centralized exchanges I know that there's OTC. And so I know for a fact, these are just things. And these are things that are like technically, I guess, illegal in the United States to not report, but people go to, for instance, the Cayman Islands or like Switzerland or other places where you can sell Bitcoin and theoretically you can sell it on the internet for, what's it called, like gift cards and stuff.
So
that's the big thing, is that can you purchase stuff with Bitcoin from an anonymous wallet? And it's very possible now. that was one of the big takeaways from the Bitcoin conference, is how they're trying to make Bitcoin acceptable from private wallets with all of the payment processing companies. So if you're to use, you know, credit card, you could also just pay from a private wallet with Bitcoin at your local store just for pizza, or that's ironic, you know, but that's the big use cases. Yeah. The pizza, when they finally, at the beginning, a long time ago, bought pizza with Bitcoin. What was it? 10,000?
Yeah.
10,000 Bitcoin?
For like $12.
And what's that now? Like 10,000 Bitcoin. I got to think how many zeros it means over. What is it? 2.4? What? Must be like some billions or something.
Yeah.
Or millions.
Like 100 million.
Ugh. I think some of the other topics that we want to go to, though, is there are some new L1s. And this is one of the arguments between Bitcoin and other coins. And so Aptos is a new L1. And L1 means layer one, which usually means like the scaling solution to Ethereum. But for instance, you know, what's his name? Saylor? Michael Saylor, the biggest Bitcoin maxi. He talks about it. And seriously, look the up only with Michael Saylor. It's kind of like gives you a mindset where he's like, Bitcoin is the first one. It's digital gold. Ethereum, you can do like technology, but there's going to be another coin with another network that's going to be better than Ethereum, and it'll replace Ethereum. But the only point of Bitcoin is that it's a store of value. So Ethereum, you can build decentralized applications, you can do DeFi, but then there's new things like Aptos. So Aptos, they've gotten, I believe, a $300 million round with investors from the people behind Facebook and all those, like, you know, traditional VCs. There's Aptos, and there was another one, I want to say it's like with a, like Sui, maybe, S-U-I. Are these L1s going to overtake? Is there going to be better technology than ETH?
More L1s right now.
And if ETH scales, then is ETH going to be king? But there are so many L1s now, and then which one's going to win out, or is it going to be ETH? And if ETH moves into the merge, I mean, I think we got to take our notes out, because Vitalik was talking about the merge, the verge, the surge.
Yeah, so there's going to be the merge. That's moving from POW to proof of stake. Surge is about introducing sharding, and then the verge is like the Merkle tree to help optimize the storage on Ethereum and like help reduce the node size.
I think you can try to say it in English.
I'm just reading off.
I know. It's
but it's like very a fundamental shift in how Ethereum operates.
Yeah, proof of work to proof of stake is
so
like
it's
one kind of the core.
It's not like this is not a public event where it's like they're just trying to get publicity. Or like, you know, an earnings report. It's like
the actual technology will change a lot. And then I believe that that will be ETH 2.0 when a lot of the staked ETH becomes available. Yeah. So everybody that did nodes had to stake 32 Ethereum for a very long time.
And it's going to like make everything like cheaper, hopefully. Like
it'll be able to scale. I think what Vitalik said was that they would be able to do 100,000 transactions per second.
Yeah.
And so the scaling would mean it has something to do with ZK rollups. Honestly, we're not like tech experts. The actual, I mean, I like the branding of the merge, the verge, and the
ZK
surge.
ZK rollups is very tech futuristic sounding. Like,
yeah.
ZK rollups.
And sharding. Like,
yeah.
The various.
We're in the future now.
Yeah. But I mean, I'll take a stab at it. From what I understand, is that, for instance, I noticed, because I've used MetaMask and I recently made some moves. I didn't tell you about it. I bought a Kanpai Panda. But we'll talk about that in NFTs. But now what they do is they bundle the transactions. So then you only need to touch the Ethereum network once.
Oh.
And then the ZK rollups, it's going to be like all of the stuff is going to be sorted on maybe like a centralized or like a single place. And then at the end, it'll talk to the blockchain and then log it on the blocks. So
yeah, that's what it seems.
It's kind of like just rolling things up, having things be like sharded. At the end of the day, from what I understand, is that it will make it so that the amount of The blockchain is the, you know, public ledger that cannot be edited, that everyone can trust. But if everybody has to write on it, that's a lot of writing and a lot of energy and a lot of time. So I think in the end, it's going to be like, instead of having everybody, you know, putting time in for that. That's just a layman's term, and I could be wrong, and someone smart out there might be telling me that that's not...
ZK-EVM. Well, like, if it works well, then making the transaction space in the base layer much cheaper.
Yeah.
So, like, they're saying September, ETH has been slowly, like, picking up steam in an environment that's, like, has no... what's the word, momentum at the moment. And so it's definitely kind of, I'm kicking myself I didn't buy it 900, but
under 1,000 kind of was like, and I didn't have anything to be investing at the moment. And so
you always thought it could go lower,
but that's what a lot of people are saying, is that they don't have, it's not retail that's buying things up, it's the institutions. The accumulation is being taken care of by the, because retail around the world, that's why they're scared. They think about the macro because people are hurting around the world with inflation. But I would say, on a different macro perspective, an interesting thing that I see is that I have a lot of friends in different countries, and the resilience and the flight to the dollar is hilarious. Because as Americans, I think a lot of people are disgusted with the monetary policy and the inflation. However, in foreign countries, it's far worse. And then these other countries, I had touched on this topic before, how one of the biggest strengths of crypto is that it gives people around the world access to the dollar. It almost sounds illogical, or like, it just doesn't make sense to some people how literally America, and they talk about the petrodollar, how everything that's traded is in dollars, including oil, and it kind of is the underpinning of the financial system. And then when the Federal Reserve prints money and lends it to our government, we're toying with the world's system of money. And when these debts increase and the price of things go up, it really messes with, for instance, retirees who have a big pool of money and they want to get their 5%. But if inflation outpaces that, they're screwed because they're no longer earning money. And then their money is worth less. Exactly.
As they get older.
And so, the people that are still getting dollars, and how it's not as bad here as it is in other countries, but people are assuming that the world is like gonna fall or something. I was seeing Elon Musk talking about how the commodity prices have gone down and there was demand destruction. And then the Federal Reserve raising rates just basically means that it's tighter access to credit. People on their credit cards who did the great resignation and didn't go back to work, they're going to run out of credit and they're going to have to go back to work. And this is purposeful policy by the Federal Reserve to choke poor people in retail into having to go back to work, which is kind of, in my mind, disgusting and doesn't really get to the basis of what is problems with inflation. But if people have less money, they're spending less money, less things are getting bought. That is a way to fight inflation. So if people can only afford lentils and they can't get steak and they can't pay for gas, so et cetera, et cetera. But let's go to NFTs, right?
Yeah. So a lot of like NFT partnerships, like Disney announced their acceleration program. They partnered with Matic. Matic found a little bump today too. And then there's this whole like crypto Twitter, the Pengus are coming back.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Pengus.
A lot of people are buying up Pengus. I don't know what
Kaleo. Kaleo swept the floor. I think he got like 26 penguins. So we're talking about Pudgy Penguins. I think you, maybe you can explain it. I mean,
we've
talked about it before, but you know, imagine each time we're talking to people that are new to
the penguin. I am my penguin. My penguin is me.
I posted cute. my stand-up from that camp bar.
Yeah.
And talking about my Pudgy Penguin for the Pudgyversary. So the Pudgyversary, there was like a lot of penguins bought and sold. So yeah, it's been 1 year of Pudgy penguins.
And then you have the rogues.
The rogues. Say rogues?
I don't know. ROGs.
ROGs. So the Pudgy penguins, to recap, were originally, who was the owner of them?
I don't know. It's so long ago.
I don't know the original, but now Luca Netz. Yeah.
Cole Therium was part of the team, some other guys.
And they rugged, basically. And they said that they were going to do like a play-to-earn game with fishing rods. And then they launched the fishing rods out of the eggs. Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, let's pause. Dude, Smithy. Oh. What up? So, we were talking about the Pudgy penguins and had to get some charging, so jump cut angles. But with the Pudgy penguins, Luca Netz had announced that they have a partnership with the people that work with, I believe, Nickelodeon and Disney for merchandising.
Oh, or Hasbro.
Is it Hasbro?
I think it was Hasbro.
Or like, it probably was. But I think it was the holding company with a different name. But
like plushy toys, yeah. And pillows.
Crypto Kaleo, one of the, I think he's at like that's half a million. That's a
very smart move.
Yeah. Yeah, no, merchandising and then the IP. And apparently the same thing with Bored Apes, where it's like people are going to be able to have their IP.
They're going to build an amusement park.
Are they actually?
I mean, people are saying it's just really? Basically.
It's just like a, it's just a branding
because
IP
the
thing.
The Ape Fest was basically a huge festival.
Yeah.
Right? So it makes sense to have like amusement parks and like, you know, they're going to have like mascots, like a Bored Ape, but in a, instead of a Snoopy costume, it's going to be, you know, Bored Ape.
No.
Yeah, you can turn it into a whole theme park.
No, and I know that the Nickelodeon, they did an NFT release that went really well, apparently.
Yeah.
And the floor, I think, tripled in like a day or something. And people were like, and it was a stealth drop. So apparently it was like, if you heard about it, just because you were there that day, like it,
yeah,
they did a stealth drop. And then when they opened the doors, it just got eaten up. And so, I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff that's going to be happening with
things are building.
NFTs like, are going to not, they're not going to be the away. Same. They're not going to be the same that they were when it started, but maybe in a good way. And I mean, yeah, it's not going away. Like NFTs are for sure going to be a thing.
Yeah. It's a bear market. People are just building.
Yeah.
And so,
but yeah, I mean, also, I have some ENS and my dad does as well. There was like some news with ENS, but also over time, they've added more and more utility and features to how they work. And ENS is the Ethereum naming service. There was an article recently, I believe in Business Insider, that was saying that, are they going to take over .com's domain name?
Yeah, there's a bid on the Amazon.eth.
Is it a stink? Is it a fake bid? Is it spoofed?
I mean, for like a million or maybe a billion.
So Amazon.eth, and I mean, just to explain. So the Ethereum naming service is where you can pay with Ethereum to purchase a name that's .eth. And then what happens is it's basically an NFT, but this NFT also gives you access to be able to toggle it just like a website, but it also is basically a private wallet. So imagine that your website is also a wallet that accepts crypto and that is in the Ethereum service. And now they're adding more and more, like they just, that ETH keep building and the value has increased. So what Brian was talking about was Amazon.eth got $1 million bid. And what people are saying is that this is the big thing with regulation is I believe that there's a U.S. Government agency that's trying to figure out who placed the bid. Because if I am to own Amazon.eth and I make a fake $1 million bid to increase the price,
I can say I'm worth
it. And then some other, well, yeah, exactly. That's one point.
And then so you can take loans based off your net worth.
Well, the other thing is that I can set the price with my fake account. And then someone else is like, all right, I'll do $1,000,050. And you're like, I just schemed them where it's like, hey, man, this is my NFT, but there's a bid for $1 million on it. And it's like, what? And it's like, yeah, dude, somebody wants to pay $1 million. Like, who's the somebody? It's like,
this guy must think it's a value. Like, maybe I should bid on
it. So I had written down in my notes about charitable deductions, where it's like,
people are using crypto as a way to make donations and then write it off.
And then I think we had talked about it a long time back, but there's also that one place where it's like, they will accept your NFT for like a penny or $0. And then whatever you paid for it, you can count it as a loss on an investment.
Yeah, they'll burn it. They'll burn it. So it'll trigger a loss.
Oh, you have to pay for them to burn it.
Yeah.
But on paper, whatever you paid for can be counted as zero.
Yeah. For a code that burns NFTs.
Yeah.
So people are using crypto losses as a way to lower their tax bill.
Yeah, and the charitable deductions, I think there's another place where they're donating things to museums. And so then I'm not sure, and I'd actually ask if someone can answer this, how it works between what the value of ETH was when you purchased something versus how much ETH you end up having. And so it does stuff with tax losses, because it's like, if you bought an NFT when ETH was worth more at a certain amount of ETH, is it the dollar value of when you purchased it?
It's less of a loss because the price is...
Well, and so then now I think that there's people who strategically decide to sell NFTs for more ETH now that the value of ETH is down, because they're trying to pile up ETH. And then that's the weird thing about the NFT to ETH and dollars market, is that some NFTs hold their value in ETH versus dollars. And then since ETH and dollars changes so much, like the way that taxes work, imagine that I have an NFT that I paid 20 ETH for when ETH was 4,800. But this is just like it's like a tax question. You know what I mean? If the value of ETH goes down, but I get more ETH, like imagine I sell it for 80 ETH instead.
So the dollar value is lower, but I get more ETH in general.
I mean, we'd have to like talk to some tax specialist and figure that out.
Yeah, it's interesting. Uh-huh. The game has changed as far as our tax.
Yeah. But there was like one story with NFTs, and like when you really get down to it again, no, I think it wasn't about Amazon.eth being spoofed. What it was Franklin is based, who's like a famous NFT account that has a lot of Bored Apes and like a really famous gold Bored Ape. What he did was apparently had, so he had buymydomainplease.eth listed for, I think, one ETH. And then what he did is he put a fake bid by himself from himself for 95 wrapped ETH as a joke. And then a bot arbitraged it or arbed it. And then they bought the domain for like 1.6 ETH and sold it to his fake bid on his own domain for 95 ETH. So basically the guy lost $100,000.
Yeah. So
for being a jackass and like
guy lists the ENS for 5 ETH. Then he bids 95 ETH publicity as a publicity stunt. Our bot buys for 5 ETH and then sells back to the guy for 95 ETH. So it's like all these smart contracts operating.
Yeah. But so what someone was saying was, it was like, oh, wow, this guy just admitted to spoofing. And so that's what they do with stocks, and it's very illegal to put bids. So imagine that you're like an owner of a company and you put up a fake bid with all the money you have on your stock. And then people think that someone else is like trying to invest in the company at a certain price. So people try to buy it up, because if that purchase increases the value, it's straight up like, it's illegal if you do it with stocks, and the SEC will like, and so people were making fun of him. And then people were also like, bro, you're going to jail. Like, you just admitted to doing like a fucking crime.
But he also got lost on his crime scheme.
Yeah. No, so, and then I think even after that, someone was like, I think the person that got the ETH was then like, hey, if you give me like an ETH, I'll like give you the money back. And then like the guy gave him another ETH. And yeah. That was really the like, okay, you're going to give like $1,000, $2,000 to the person to give you back just the money.
Push the knife deeper where it's like, hey, give me 2 more ETH. I'll give it back.
At the end of the day, what if it all was a psyop? And what if he still just all did it for publicity and attention?
Just for the culture, just to post it. This is like some of these like stories are just so outrageous. Like, who is that stupid to do it like that? But I guess there's a lot of stupid people out there in the world.
Yeah. But I think we got through most of it. We got a show planned out.
Crazy. I think I think the merch is happening this year. They're more and more. Doesn't sound like there's like any issues, and like this is a fundamental change in the technology. It's crazy. Like it's like going from boogie cars, like Henry Ford Model T, to like, you know, a Chevrolet, like, you know, Mustang or something, or like, you know, solar power car, electrical car.
I'll just like take the ETH, but then put on top of it like the ENS stuff. And then what I would say is that like I learned, because like I have like a company that does websites, and if you need a website, call me up. Domains, the .eths, it's like a website with utility. And then the team keeps putting on more utility. And then if someone's listening and wondering like, okay, what am I bullish on? The domain name, the website game is huge. There are more and more people making more and more websites. There are people who simply trade website names for a full-time job. There are people that have become millionaires, billionaires off of it. Shout out the Terracchio brothers. This naming system, .eth, is like an evolution of it. And if the merge goes through, if ETH scales, if people are using these ENSs as their private wallets, go out, get your name, get anything that's like not listed. Now there's a full marketplace of, you can buy the numbers. The triple digits are like worth several Ethereum.
The numbers
and a few letters, you know. Amazon.eth, they gave $1 million bid, but like it's like a whole world and it's a whole marketplace. And I think that over time it's going to increase, particularly if the merge happens. So I'm going to say I also am bullish on the Ethereum system, and I think that bullish on the ENS. And if someone's to have some money around, I got my name.
Chainlink too.
Yeah, Chainlink is like,
you'll need the oracles.
Yeah. So that's it. It's good to be back. And
peace.
Thanks, Smithy. We're actually at his place now, but he'll listen. Well, he already listened to it.
I've been here the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the latest episode.
All right.
Peace.
Peace.